My guest today is Mark Rendell. Mark, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's good to have you back. It's been like 3 years since you were on my show.
Yeah,
a long time. What do you do?
So at the moment, I've been working on my startup, Zoodio, which was a tool for managing Azure cloud storage, blobs, tables, queues, that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently working 16-hour days. We're pivoting. It's becoming something else, and we're going to be announcing that in July or August
and
launching something new. So yes, I will be looking for every opportunity to talk about that. So.
I'll help you out. Today we're talking about, because we're at Dev Summit. You did a talk yesterday on C# 6.
Yes.
Which I missed. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was taking a nap because I flew from America.
So were some of the people in the room, actually. So.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So I feel solidarity with those guys. C# 6 is, what's the schedule for that?
It's Microsoft's new, everything's open source, everything's on GitHub, mm-hmm. and so it's a weird schedule. So it's release candidate, I think, officially at the moment.
Okay.
So they've got it in the Visual Studio 2015 release candidate.
If you've downloaded and installed that, you have C#6.
Then you have C# 6, the release candidate. So they're working on stability and bug fixing. There's no new features at this point. But you can also clone the entire thing from GitHub and download it and build it yourself
and
create your own
C#
compiler.
Older versions of Visual Studio.
Then they did have it working in Visual Studio 2013, and I'm not sure if they're still supporting that or if there's going to be a service pack. Obviously, what they want everyone to do is update to 2015 anyway. So,
All right.
So that's their focus.
What's going on in C#? What's the cool new stuff?
Well, so the biggest thing is Roslyn, which is they've rewritten the C# compiler. So up until now, the C# compiler was actually written in C and C++, mm-hmm. And now the C# compiler is written in C#.
Okay.
And the VB compiler is written in VB, which must have been fun, but yeah.
They say that's the mark of a good compiler, is to write yourself.
Yes. I mean, most compilers don't call themselves 1.0, or most languages don't call themselves 1.0 until they get to the point where they call it self-hosted, where the compiler is written in its own language. Mm. But it's taken C# 6 goes to get there.
Well, I mean, just as an academic exercise, that's interesting. Mm. But it's more than that, right, with Roslyn. Roslyn is actually...
So there's a lot of stuff...
From the outside can use.
Yes, yeah. So Roslyn, it's not just the compiler. It's got language services, and all of these are exposed as APIs from the Roslyn assembly so that you can reference the Roslyn assemblies from your own .NET applications and hook into it. You can write syntax analyzers. Mm. You can write sort of things like fxcop and stylecop. Have become really easy to write. There's refactoring facilities in there and so forth. Mm. And also, the way they've written the code, the modular approach they've taken, now C# developers who might have had a hard time reading C++ code can actually read the code in their own compiler and see how it works and maybe contribute changes. Or if you wanted to, you can create slight variants on C# and add in your own language features and distribute that if you want to, or use it internally if you want to.
Interesting. It's also how many people actually do that.
Yeah,
because it sounds hard.
The other thing they've done is they've made it a lot more performant, and it's much better at making use of multiple processors. So it'll parallel compile a whole bunch of stuff, and we've got a whole load of immutable collections that have actually been added to .NET. Specifically, so the Roslyn team wanted things like read-only dictionaries or immutable dictionaries, immutable lists, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So if you add something to a list, it returns a new list with that thing on it, so which is obviously very useful in a parallel compiler pipeline thing. Mm. So that's been the big focus for the last couple of years, mm-hmm. since C# 5.
I'm curious, are you planning to use Roslyn's compiler as a service feature in any of your applications?
I have, Simple Data. I've just started Simple
That's
Data
your,
2, which is the thing, the micro ORM that we talked about last time. And one of the issues with Simple Data is that uses dynamic types to, so you have a dynamic database object, and then if you say .customers, it goes off and finds out if you've got a customers table and so forth. And It's great. It's really quick to throw together an application, and you don't have to keep regenerating classes and so forth. But you do lose the IntelliSense. Mm. And Roslyn actually has the IntelliSense, the code completion facility inside Roslyn. Mm. And looking at the code, there are places where it's possible to hook in. So you can say, I want to join in providing IntelliSense for C#. Rather than I will take over. So at the moment, things like ReSharper replace it entirely.
Right, they basically write their own compiler.
They write their own compiler, and they completely take over all the IntelliSense for C#. Mm. Roslyn allows you to contribute to the IntelliSense for C#.
Ah.
And so I've got a spike where I can look at your DB object, and if you put a comment on the line above where you open the database connection and put a connection string in there, I can actually connect to the database and give you IntelliSense from the database live in Visual Studio while you're writing the code. And so that's something that I want to do.
So the comment is a hint to Roslyn to tell it where to find.
So Roslyn can see the comment above the line where you said var db equals database.open, and then I can take that comment, connect to that database if it's available, and then in the IntelliSense, if you type db dot, you'll see kind of customers, users, orders, and all this sort
of
stuff.
That's an upcoming release of SimpleDB.
That's SimpleData.
Sorry.
SimpleDB is Amazon's old storage thing.
SimpleData.
SimpleData 2.0 will have that facility either at the same time as 2.0 is released or shortly afterwards. It kind of depends when Roslyn, when the Roslyn team take the internal keyword off some things, really. There's a lot of internals in there at the moment.
I don't know why people like the internal keyword. That's a debate people have.
They're not happy. They're not comfortable committing to the API at the moment. That's the issue.
I guess for beta software, that makes sense.
Yes, it's release candidate now. You know, so there's a lot of stuff in there. But so yes, I will be playing with Roslyn for SimpleData. So.
So that's by far the biggest feature in C# 6, right?
Yeah.
The rest is just a bunch of little conveniences.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Syntactic sugar is what I call it. And when it was all theoretical and they were talking about it, I was looking at these things and going, well, that's. So the biggest kind of obvious, that sounds awesome, is what they're calling the null conditional operator. Hmm. Not everyone knows that there's a thing called the null coalescing operator, which has been in C# since the start, where you can put ?? And it's like a or, and you can say, okay, so if the first half of the expression is null, then use the second half.
Right.
So
if is null.
Yeah, so, you know, use this, but if it's null, then use this instead. Right. And we've now got the null conditional operator, which is actually, you use this on objects, and you say ?? instead of just dot.
Okay,
so if you've got like a string and you say .length, but the string object is null, you'll get a null reference exception.
Right.
Okay. If you say, if you've got a string variable and you say ?? .length, then it will always work, and what you'll get back is, rather than an int, you'll get a nullable int. And if the string was null,
it'll just be a null. Okay.
But if it had something in it, then it'll have the length in it.
Okay, I think I see that. I've written a lot of defensive code around this.
Yeah, all those places where you said, if it doesn't equal null, and if this doesn't equal null, and if this doesn't equal null.
Right,
you can now
replace with... If you have a chain of, object dot object, it becomes really problematic.
Yes, and so there's two places where this really sings. One is those places where you say var manager equals employee as manager, and then if manager does not equal null. So now you can just say parens employee as manager, close parens ?? And so that works nicely.
Right.
But absolutely the biggest one is event handlers. So if you're writing your event handler code right, you say var handler equals event. If handler does not equal null, then invoke the handler to stop null reference exceptions happening on that. And that has now become event ?? Invoke this event args. So that's gone down to one line. So that's really nice. And that is thread safe and everything else. So that's the biggest obvious change. One that my second favorite, I think, from C# 6 is the string interpolation. And that's
what's that?
So this is something that dynamic languages like Ruby and Python and so on have had for a very long time, where inside a string you can put curly braces, usually, and then within the curly braces you can reference variables and members and so forth, and then the runtime turns that into the value of that property. So you can say,
right,
hello, curly brace, zero, username, close curly brace, and it'll say, hello, David. Okay.
I guess it's the same as curly brace zero, curly brace one.
So it's very much like curly brace zero, curly brace one. And actually, if you do this, so in C-sharp 6, you start a string with dollar to turn on string interpolation.
Okay.
So similar to when you would have started a string with the at sign for to include new lines and so on.
Okay.
But we start it with dollar, and then you can put in any expression, any single expression.
So we used to have the bracket zero or curly brace zero, curly brace one, and then we'd have at the end
you would say comma this, comma that, comma
the
other, and so it would replace the zero. And so this, and string interpolation is just syntactic sugar for that. So actually, what the compiler does is it turns it into string.format, and then zeros and ones and twos and threes.
Okay.
So
I like that.
At runtime, it's doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
but it's great. It's shorter. You haven't got this kind of superfluous function call. And also, if you want to introduce a new variable into that string, you don't have to kind of work out where in the argument list you want to put it at the end and so forth. So yeah, so that's really nice.
That drove me to string concatenation a number of times.
Yes, yeah.
Which has the nice syntactic sugar, but there's some inefficiencies there.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing that that I think is we're going to have to be careful with education on is this is going to make it even easier for the less advanced developers to just drop the ID parameter from their controller action into select star from customer, where ID equals curly brace ID close curly brace, and we're just going to be going, oh god, you've done it again.
We're empowering bad code. Awesome.
So those are my two kind of favorites. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. You've got you can have read-only properties now, so read-only automatic properties. You can specify a property that's just got a getter, an automatic property with just a getter, and then either set that using an equals true afterwards or something, or you can set it from the constructor, but that becomes read-only. We've got exception filters, so now when you are catching an exception, you can put a when after the catch section. So say I'm catching an HTTP exception, I can put a when ex.status code is greater than 499, and then that catch block will only trigger when the HTTP status code is 500 or more. And that's something that's actually been built into the CLR for ages, and visualbasic.net has had this for a long time. I don't know when visualbasic.net got it, but C# has not had this facility. So this is actually doing something different in the CLR.
Interesting.
So that makes your exception handling
I actually remember
better.
I was in a session at the MVP Summit a couple of years ago, and they were debating whether it should be the word when or the word where.
Yes.
And that was a big deal.
So they've gone with when.
They've gone with when for various reasons. But I don't think I'm revealing too much of the insider information. But it was just interesting that was important. Because once it's in the language,
it's
there
forever. That's it. Yeah.
It'll always be
when. These are important decisions. I mean, I remember the arguments over whether async and await should be, particularly await, people weren't happy with, because it made it sound like the program was going to stop. But all the people going, I don't like the word await. It sounds like you're going to suspend execution. Well, what do you think we should use?
And they couldn't think of anything better. Yeah,
So that's good. Oh, and we now, actually, speaking of exceptions and await, you can now await in a catch block, which you couldn't do in C# 5. Not if you're writing out to a log and you want to write out to the log asynchronously, then you can say, you know, await log.writeasync. And also in finally blocks. You couldn't previously await in finally blocks. And so one of the things that they're talking about doing in C# 7 is actually async disposables. So quite a lot of the time with an unmanaged object, when you're closing it down, that's going to do some kind of asynchronous close the connection and let me know when it's closed operation.
So
having an async disposable is a kind of, that is actually a useful thing. So that's one of the things they're talking about for C# 7, which is, you know, now that's their focus. They're kind of polishing and finishing off C# 6 and on to the next thing. Yeah. And there's some great stuff coming there.
Anything you could share besides the,
Well, you can go to their GitHub and look and
oh, that's right. It's
everything
open source now.
Everything in there is tagged with a C# 7 milestone and everything. So, but the big things there is pattern matching, which is something that functional languages have. F# has match, and then you have a series. So it's a bit like a switch statement, but works differently. And you can also do it on types. And also in the kind of F# area, they're looking at records and algebraic data types, unions and things like that. Mm-hmm. So the F# guys are always going on about records are like very simple, lightweight objects that are implicitly read-only. Better tuples, so tuple destructuring, which is where you can say, instead of saying var tuple equals this and then tuple to item 1 and tuple to item 2, you can say okay comma number equals try pass int, and then it actually turns the tuple into
so
it breaks the tuple down into these values. So yeah, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff, and you can go and join in if you go to github.com/.net/Roslyn, Roslyn, and yeah, you can join in the discussion, and if you really feel productive, then fork it and contribute something to it. And if you don't feel that you can contribute actual compiler code, then you can maybe contribute some test code, add some test coverage. There's all sorts of things you can do.
Yeah. Are you writing about this online somewhere?
I've been blogging about ASP.NET, vNext, and MVC 6, and that's got some C# 6 in there.
Where
obviously, they're kind of tied together. So that's my blog's blog.markrendell.net. You can head over there. I'm running ASP.NET in Docker on Linux and editing it in Sublime Text. And
that is hardcore.
It is hardcore. but, you know, the fact that I can edit my C# code in Sublime Text and I've got completions and I've got code checking is actually down to Roslyn. Yep. There's a standalone code intelligence server called OmniSharp. And OmniSharp uses the Roslyn compiler services to provide IntelliSense in Sublime Text and Atom, and it's actually what VS Code uses as well, the new cross-platform Visual Studio editor.
It's a brave new world.
It is an insane brave new world, and I love it.
Mark, thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you. Remember, friends don't let friends misuse technology.